Hello there, friends. Welcome to the Life is Hard, God is Good podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Larson. We're continuing today with the New Creation series, going from 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come." It's so cool to hear people's stories of the life that they once lived before they knew Jesus, and then how the love of Jesus has transformed their life so that they are a new creation with a new heart and a new spirit. And today on the podcast, we have a dear friend of ours, Ola, and we met her here in Japan. I talk a little bit about how we met in the interview, but that same day that we met her at this rice harvest, she invited us over to her house. We'd only been in Japan for maybe a couple of weeks, and we were still without a car, without a lot of furniture and things like that. And my husband and I went over and met her husband, and they made us dinner, and they gave us a heater and a bike so I didn't have to carry groceries and furniture around by walking. And they were just so generous to us and have not stopped being so generous and kind to us and to everyone that they meet, really. And so it's just an honor and a joy to have Ola on the podcast today, and I'm excited for you to hear her story. So let's dive in. Let's get started. Yes. Today we have Ola on the podcast, and she is just a beam of absolute joy.
We heard
about her before we met her in Japan here, and she just seemed like an amazing person. Everyone knows Ola. If you talk to someone here where we live, like, "Oh, do you know Ola?" "Yes, of course." Like, she's very, very connected to everyone in the community. And I remember the first time we met you was at the rice harvest. Yes. And you were just like, "Oh, I heard you're a Christian. How did you meet Jesus?" I was like, "Oh my gosh, we're going to be friends for sure." So she's amazing. And it's such an honor to have you on the podcast, Ola. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, of course.
And actually, I heard that you were a Christian before you came to Japan. And I was supposed to answer Drew's email, and I never did. Oh. I thought I did. I mentally did, but I didn't say it. So whatever. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah, because you had the position that Drew had before.
Yes.
Exactly. So you were in connection with him. Yeah. Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what you like to do?
All right. So I am from, I was born and raised in West Africa, Benin, and I moved to Canada for my master's degree, then naturalized as a Canadian, stayed in Canada for about 16, 17 years, and came to Japan in 2017. And what do I like to do? Well, first, a big one in my life is gospel music. I'm a singer, I'm a worship leader, but I love to eat, I love to travel, I love to meet new people and just share love and joy around me, I guess. And I love to dance as well. Yeah, something like this.
You definitely share the joy around with you, that's for sure. Can you tell us a little bit about what your life was like before you knew Jesus?
So I met Jesus, well, I received Jesus when I was 19 years old.
Okay.
But before that, my mom became Christian when I was 13 years old. And my parents had a really, really bad divorce when I was just preteen. And so my parents separated, and I stayed with my dad. Not that we got a choice, actually. But, well, I stayed with my dad from 13 years old to 16 years old. And in that meantime, my mom became Christian. So every time we would visit her, she would just bring us to church and then go to church and all this, read the Bible and join the prayer meetings. And I was like, "Wow, I don't like this." And so it was like that for a while. But then I met worship music. So I didn't like church, but I loved listening to worship music. And so I just fell in love with worship. And it was like that for many years till in my last year of high school, I started hearing God speak to me, actually. He started personally to engage with me in my dreams, in my thoughts life, and then would just send me and read the Bible at this chapter, and I don't even know the books of the Bible. What are you talking about? Whatever. And I would just obey and do it. And so it stayed like that for about a year, where I started reading the Bible. I had a Bible because I went to a Catholic high school. So we all received the Bible at the beginning of the high school when I was in junior high school. In middle school, second grade, that's when I started in that school, in the Catholic church, Catholic school. And so I had a Bible. I never read it. I knew nothing about what was inside. And so I started kind of exploring the chapters the Lord was speaking to me in my dreams and stuff like that. And so then I met Jesus, like those steps. Finally, I believed in Jesus. I was reading the Bible. I was praying. And one of my cousins, the first one in my family to become a Christian, a born-again Christian, said, "Well, you're a Christian. You should go to church." What do you mean? And so she introduced me to a neighborhood church. And that's when I started going to church in 1999.
Okay.
As a believing, born-again Christian. But probably I received Jesus in 98, probably.
Okay.
Around that time.
Like when he was speaking to you? And
yes, yes. Like I would have dreams about things that couldn't have been known to any human being. You know, something that would have happened in my family in secret and whatever. And I would see it in my dreams and I would speak it out. And it was that or something like this. Or go to this place in the garden and then dig this deep and whatever. And you'll find this idol that was buried years ago and whatever. I knew nothing about anything. You know, there's a plant there in the garden. And then all of a sudden you dig it out. And yes, there is an idol inside the ground. Wow. Stuff like that. You know, like pretty heavy stuff. And so that's where you can't deny this must be God. Like, wait, who are you again? Who did you say you were? Yes, I'm Jesus and whatever. Before that, I had been tormented in my dream life where I would see like demons attacking the family or even like very, very strange stuff. You know, when you read Revelation, you would say, oh, this is scary. Well, that was what it looked like in my dream life. Till the Lord took over and then started speaking into my dream life and in my spiritual life, actually. And that's when I received Jesus.
So how could you tell the difference with when you were being tormented by a demon versus like when God was speaking to you? Like, how could you tell like there was a difference there?
The peace. You know, you just know from the peace that the Lord gives you that, you know, when you hear the voice of God, when you sense the presence of God, there is that kind of peace, like after a storm and everything becomes peaceful, like everything silenced. And the voice is just soft and clear and warm and his presence is just reassuring. That feeling, I don't know that I can describe it really in words, but you just know. You know how the Bible says that that my sheep know my voice and they can recognize my voice. You just know that this is it. This is my maker. You just know he comes in love. He comes to deliver and give you that joy and peace that you can't just explain. It's just that, yes. You know? Yeah. So you know it. And yeah, so because the things that he would show me would come to pass. And it became scary at some point because you would speak like prophetically without knowing that you're prophesying, and then it happens that what did I do? And I can remember that year, 1998, 99, those years sometimes the Lord would just kind of there would be like a a voodoo kind of practice or whatever in my neighborhood, and then the Lord would just tell me, speak rain over this, speak my rain over this, and then I would speak, and it would start pouring.
Wow. Like, you know,
we are not in a rainy season. We are in a pretty nice season. All of a sudden, somebody spoke rain out of the heavens. Yeah, so stuff like that kept happening. I just knew this can't be just any kind of demon. This is God. This is God. It has to be God.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so it started like that, but it also continued like that, that the Lord just keeps using us in different ways. You don't necessarily know the impact of whatever you are doing till you see it, because, well, he's the master, and then you, okay, I'll just do whatever he said, whatever. And then it comes out like, okay, wait a second, that was God, sorry. Yeah. Okay. So
yeah.
I love it that he gives us that kind of freedom, but also it's not necessarily freedom, but also the power of speaking life or speaking his truth into our very, very real and very, very material circumstances. We can actually speak into it. And so it's really, really beautiful that the Lord gives us that nature, that he's divine nature.
Yeah, words have power for sure.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah. So,
and the years you said, like 1998 to 1999, was like this time where this was like when you became a born again Christian. Was it kind of a gradual process, or was there like a moment where
actually
you felt like it happened?
Because it took some time to kind of recognize that, okay, the Lord is speaking to me. Like the first time that the Lord spoke to me, I remember I used to take walks, and I actually love to take walks. These days I'm not really, well, I don't have a lot of time to do that, but I used to go out maybe around 11 p.m. and I'll start walking. It starts in the neighborhood, but I will walk for maybe 2 hours, and I'm just praying in tongues. I don't even know what tongues are yet. I'm just like, you know, and then looking at the sky, and then out of the, so I'm like the first time, I'm not yet praying in tongues or anything. I'm just walking, and I'm looking at the sky. And then the first thing I hear is, read Ezekiel 17. I'm like, what is Ezekiel 17? And so, wait, I have to search it. But I don't, there is no Google at that time. Mind you, this is 1998. And so Ezekiel 17, I have to, wait, it sounds like something, Ezekiel 17. Okay, so whatever. So I start looking, and I speak to one of my high school classmates who said, oh, Ezekiel is in the Bible. Is that right? Okay. So I had those huge Bible. It's written T-O-B on it. And so those ones are the Catholic Bibles.
Okay.
And so they have the regular Bible that we have, plus, well, the Bible, plus some extra books. Okay. And so Ezekiel, well, is in any Bible, actually. And 17 is like, okay, I'll go and read it. And so I read Ezekiel 16 and 17, and it was the story of how there was that young girl who was naked and nobody took care of her from her birth, and how the Lord said, nobody salted you, nobody actually washed you or anointed you, or nobody clothed you, and I saw you in your blood, and I let you in your blood, and I let you grow in your blood. And then by the time you turned beautiful and all plum and beautiful, I came back, and then I washed you with salt, and I anointed you, and I clothed you, and I gave you a ring on your finger, and then on your nose, and all these things, that how he clothed that bride, and you became my bride. And then from that point on, you think it would be a beautiful story. No, she started cheating on him and doing all kinds of crazy things, killing her children and all these things. And you would think, Lord, till when will you forgive these kind of things? And so he, towards the end of it, but then I will take you back again, he says. I'll receive you so that you will know. You won't be you won't be arrogant. You won't be able to boast again. You will know that I have loved you and that you are mine. Such a beautiful redemption.
So beautiful.
It's like, ah!
Ezekiel 16 is one of those passages I just cry
oh,
when I read. It's like,
And it's like, this is me. It was totally, this is me. This is who I am right now. That I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know anything about Jesus, his love. And it's not really your fault that you don't know about him. Nobody told you. You didn't know about it. But I can't remember who said that. I think it's Maya Angelou who said, you do your best till you know better. Then you do better. Okay? When you know and you choose not to do it, you're stupid. But if you don't know, that's not your fault. Okay?
Yeah.
Till you know. If you don't do it, well, that's on you. So Ezekiel 16. Yeah, you're right. And yeah, so that was my first passage from God. And I just knew this was God. I just knew, I just recognized myself in that bloody young person who didn't know anything and was just there.
Yeah.
Not even like growing like a weed. You just grow in all kinds of direction. And I just said weed, and it comes to mind that one of my former neighbors said, you know what we call weed? It's not a bad plant. There is no bad plant. It's a plant that is in a bad place.
Wow.
So as soon as that plant is planted where it is, it's supposed to be, it won't be called weed anymore. But if you have weed over your driveway, it's not because the plant did something wrong. It's just that it grew in an unfavorable environment. You just take it and you bring it where it's supposed to be and it will prosper there. And so that is what the Lord did to me, like taking me out of that environment. And I'm not talking about physical environment. It's spiritual, where you are in kind of a, in a dry place where you are not growing, where you're not, well, you actually don't know God, so you can't even know that you're not alive, that you are totally out of purpose, that you're out of your design, till you find your maker, you know what you're made for,
yes,
and you know that this is it, this was me, okay, this was what I was supposed to be, exactly, yeah, and so that's a beautiful encounter.
That's so beautiful,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen those pictures. There was one picture on Facebook where you had a slice of orange that was stuck in a garlic clove. And it looked like a garlic clove. But it looks like it's fitting. But it's not, because this is not where you were made for. You are not made for garlic. You're an orange, please go back home, you know?
Yeah.
And so sometimes you may think you're fitting, but you will find in the nature and in the fruit that you give that this is not your place. And when you recognize it, please go back to your maker. That is what I would say. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, really. So another thing that happened as I met the Lord that year is that, you know, I used to, like I said, I used to love gospel music. And I was like, I would listen to those songs and I would be crying without knowing why. It's like, why am I crying all these things? I don't know. And then the first time I went to church, like an actual organized worship service that was not necessarily my mom's church. It was a youth church, actually.
Okay.
And all the leaders and members were maybe in their early 20s. Right now, all of them are like international ministry-based pastors, mm-hmm. like apostles and whatever, and TV evangelists, and they can gather thousands and thousands of people. But we were in those small rooms, all of us students, praying and calling on the Lord. And I went to that church the first time, and the prayer was so, like, I was in the service, and the whole time I was having visions.
Wow.
And it was like just, like, I was raptured, you know, into God's presence. And I was like, wait, what's going on? So we were worshiping. I was on my knees. And by the time I knew it, the service was over. It's like you've been like this for an hour now. Are you okay? So I was totally into God's presence, and I was just crying and crying, and I was just being like washed and purified and renewed. And at the end of the service, it was I was just like another person. And so I call him my spiritual father, mind you, because he actually walked me through from that point on. He said, well, do you want to start reading the Bible together? And I'm like, yeah, I want to. I've been reading the Bible for a year now, so yeah, we can do that. And so the next day, actually the same afternoon, he came to my house, and he was, okay, so we'll start with Matthew, and we would read one chapter, and he would say, okay, well, what did you understand from it? Because he said, well, since you said you can hear the voice of God, I just want to see what you heard from him, from this passage. So I will be there talking for hours and hours. And he will be watching like, can't believe this is a newborn Christian. And so we had been doing that for about 5 days. It was now Thursday. And we were reading this Matthew 5. And so it's the Mount of the Olives sermon where Jesus is saying, blessed are you if whatever. And then we are at that point, and I just turn to him and I say, I want to get baptized. And he's like, and he's like, well, yeah, we can do that. So when, what about tomorrow? He's like, yeah, okay. So just like that, I received Jesus in September. Actually, September 20th was my baptism.
Okay.
Yes, 1999. And so I received Jesus in September and got baptized Friday morning at 6 a.m. in the ocean. Like, they're like, oh, I guess.
That's awesome.
I can baptize you if you want to. Yeah, sure. Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah. But it's amazing how the Lord just, he will speak to you. And that's what I say to anybody who doesn't know. Jesus is like, if you're really, really honest with yourself, and if you want to know the Lord, just go in your room and tell him, Lord, if you're there, please speak to my heart. And he will. You know what? He will. He speaks so loud. If you shut down all the distraction and want to hear from him, you will. Mm. So please just try it.
Yeah.
You will see. He will speak to you. And you're like, I don't think you. Try. Please try me out on this one. He will. And I really, really believe that God does speak to each of us. And so, yeah. Mm. That was it. It's my story.
That's amazing. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So since then, you've had a journey since then. Like, it's not like there's just that and then like life has been easy peasy, right?
Oh my gosh, like, no.
He takes us through a journey to make us more like him. But like, what are some things that you've noticed from before being a Christian and now, like, having Jesus in your life? Like, how has he changed your character? Obviously, you've grown and matured as a human, but just, like, how has he changed you spiritually?
Yes. So I spoke about how I received Jesus. And then a few days in, my spiritual father said, now you should start praying to receive the Holy Spirit. And I said, okay. I received the Holy Spirit and I start praying. And then the Lord speaks to me and said, if you don't forgive, I'm not giving you the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, what do you mean? Mm. Okay, so you have to go. And so in my family, we had pretty nasty relationships. So I had to go and actually kneel in front of my stepmother and said that I'm really sorry and please forgive me and all this. But I thought I was being the one abused and all this. And I'm like, I don't want to do it. And so the Lord just said, well, you'll have to open your heart. You'll have to give me that section of your life as well. I didn't want to. So it lasted 3 months that I didn't want to obey to the things that he did. But yes, we have very complicated. I can't even start getting into my family business. It's really nasty. But it doesn't matter. Forgiveness is not for others. Mm. It's for you. It's to set you free. Mm. And so for me, it was like, it's out of question. I'm not releasing those people and saying, well, you don't owe me anything. No, you owe me everything. You know? And so I had to open that one. It was tough. I think that was the toughest thing I had to do. And so the Lord brought me to that point where I had to kind of swallow my pride and come and actually humble in front of somebody who I thought was abusive and say, I forgive you. Mm. And I receive you and I love you because the Lord loves you. And loving, not because I want to love you, I don't find you nice, but I will love you because the Lord loves you. Man, it was not a beautiful one. But it happened just before Christmas that year. After Christmas. Just before the New Year. Between Christmas and the New Year. Just before the New Year that year. I went and I did it. And then I went back to my room and I was just crying and crying. And boom, I received the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
And that's how, like, my whole life changed. From that moment on, like, there is this, I can't explain. It doesn't matter how bad things can get. The Lord is with you. Mm. He got you back. It doesn't matter how hard you think you how hard you think you will have to kind of work towards the things or whatever, if you just come back and just give it to him and you just humble before him and trust him, he will just do it. It doesn't matter what it is. And so it doesn't matter. From that point on, that was internal, right? About my own pride and unforgiveness. And so that happened. And then the next step that we that new year, back at that time, I was doing a training at the hospital as a technical engineer. And then we had to kind of fix some of those machines and whatever. But I had access to all the hospital rooms. So the next trial was like, Lord, I want to pray for the sick. Mm. Well, I'm with you. Is that right? Can we? Guess what? I spoke about it at work and I said, can I just walk around and pray for the sick? Yeah, sure. Do you think? No problem. On your lunchtime or whatever. And so that started. And it started a ministry that became a healing ministry, actually. We would just go and pray and just share the love of God and just leave. And the next thing we know, they checked out. They were healed. They are not good. It didn't matter. Babies, older people, whatever. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, you just discover, wait, there is this one here. We can do this. Yes, we can. So from that point on, as soon as you open this door and the Lord just shows you this new room and you think, oh, this is amazing. And then you find out, oh, there's another door here. What's behind it? Mm. And so my whole life from that point on has been shaped by those, if I follow this imagery, those rooms that the Lord just gets you into. that you're not prepared for necessarily, but he just opens the door. You just walk in and things happen, and then he will open the next door, close this one. And yeah, so it's been a journey. So internally, I know that joy is not for me. Well, you said it. Oh, there's such a joy around her. I don't want to be joyful. You know, it's not pink and bubble everywhere in my life. No, it's hard. But it just happens that it just radiates out without me even wanting it. You know, it's not like, oh, purpose, let me be all bubbly today. No, I don't want to be bubbly today and steal something. Oh, I'm so happy when I see you. Ah, I don't want you to be happy when you see me. I'm not in that mood. Well, steal. And it just comes out that way, I guess. It's, I think, one of those things the Holy Spirit produces in me. So some of those things, you know, where you would randomly ask somebody, oh, do you have anything I can pray for? Can I pray for you? And then, yeah, the next thing you know, they have something very big you will pray for, you're praying to, and the Lord will answer them. Mm. And so it happened again and again and again. And you just can't ignore it. It becomes part of who you are. So you start paying attention to those things. Okay, wait, why am I here? Why? You know, you will get to a place and then there is somebody else. Okay, let me tell you this. Mm. Two weeks ago, we were going to Hokkaido and with my husband, and we got on the plane and he had the window seat. I had the middle seat, and there is this guy sitting on our left. And when we came in the plane, he was already seated and was all sorry. And he's, oh, yeah, you can go ahead and whatever. And so whatever, we sat. And my husband is here. I'm in the middle. This guy is on my left. And we just said the greetings and whatever. And I just whispered to my husband, he's such a nice guy. And he said, yeah, I find that he's nice. Kind of. And then we are maybe 10 minutes on the flight. He grabs his cell phone and he opens the Bible application.
Oh.
And I'm like, hey, he's Christian. I told my husband, he's Christian. And he's like, talk to him. So I turn around. I look at his application. You Christian? Yeah, we're Christian too. We spent the most amazing 2.5 hours on our way to Hokkaido sitting beside this guy here. What we didn't know is that morning, his mom died.
Mm.
And that he was running to the funeral and to comfort his father, and he's the only Christian in his family.
Wow.
And so in 2 hours, we found everything out. We prayed together. We shared life together. We blessed him. Mm. He got to Hokkaido. We exchanged our contacts. We are now in contact with another Christian family across. Like, can you That's believe amazing. These things?
Yeah, yeah.
This is the thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. So sometimes, you know, that person sitting beside you on the bus, you know, that person on the plane, you were sent there for him. Mm-hmm. You are there. You are the only closest representation of Jesus they will have today.
Yeah.
Please make it count.
Yes.
So
that makes me think of a couple of things. One is what you were talking about earlier with you're really great at this, of like being aware, because I think a lot of people get caught up in this material world that we're in, and then they don't hear God's voice because they're distracted.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're very like focused and you're aware of what's going on around you. Like, oh, this guy, like you were aware that like, oh, this guy's really nice. And you were paying attention that, oh, that's a Bible app. Oh, he's a Christian. You know, like some people just aren't aware of that.
Yeah,
or like
there's
situations where you're like, oh, I need to talk to this person. I need to pray for this person. And then they share something deep that they.
Yeah.
So it's like that obedience and just being aware. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I feel like it's especially cool. Like when I'm hearing this story, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a Christian guy on this plane. Like depending on where you are in the world, maybe that's not so rare. But here in Japan, it is very rare.
It is very important.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What are the chances?
It's like 1% in this country of people are Christian. What is it like being a Christian in Japan like this? Like where there are not very many Christians.
No, exactly. So for me, you know, I forget that we're only 1% of Japan. For me, So let me tell you the story, how I came to Japan. I don't know about this podcast.
It's great. No.
But, okay, so when I was praying about coming to Japan, I heard nothing from God. Mm. Like, Lord, speak to me. Show me a sign. Nothing. Like, Lord, say something. Nothing. I applied for the job. They called me back. Do you want to start? It's in a month. And I'm like, well.
1 month.
Yes. I had 1 month to pack up my life from Canada. And did I? You don't know that story. No. So I had only 1 month to pack up my things from Canada. But in that 1 month, I was spending 2 weeks in Cuba on a missionary trip. So we were 2 weeks in Cuba. I came back from Cuba. And then 2 weeks later, I had to be on the plane to Japan. And I'm like, Lord,
yeah.
How am I going to pull this off?
Yeah.
If it happens that I get on that plane, that this will be you. This will be God. That will be my sign. So we are in Cuba. We are ministering to churches. And the craziest day in Cuba, you know, Cuba is said to be one of those, countries with that persecutes Christians, but there is a revival happening there that people are not aware of. The thousands and thousands of house churches and underground churches, like the revival is crazy amazing. You have to see it to believe it. And so we were on that bus going and touring many of the underground churches, and one of them. That day was crazy. We left our missionary camp maybe around 6 a.m. And we went, like, we spent literally an hour in each church. So we would drive to wherever small village, and then they already arranged everything. So it's not like we had to find them out. So we'll go there. The service is going on. We get there. We pray for people. We share the word. We pray for the sick. We bless them with prophetic words, and we get on the bus for the next stop. And so we were doing this tour, and we are now maybe stop 15 or something. We are tired. We are hot. We are sweaty and all these things. And on our bus, there were three teenagers. And one of them, a young girl called Abby, 15 years old. It's her first missionary trip. It's her first time ministering to others like this outside of our home church. And then she's like, hola, I don't know if this speaks to you, but the Lord gave me a vision, and just when we were on the way to the last church, and this is what I saw. I don't know if it speaks to you, but I saw you on an island, and it was an island where there was a small dot, just a small dot, and it started growing bigger and bigger, and bigger and bigger, and the whole island became red. The small red dot became all red over the island. And this is what the Lord says. I'm rising the level of my spirit in that land. I'm sending you there. I'm like, wah! I started crying right there because I heard no word about Japan. I had no word. I had no indication. I knew just that my heart was telling me, you go to Japan, I have the peace, no confirmation, no whatsoever from the Lord. And this word was not just for me, it was also for Japan. And she was saying the vision, and I was seeing it in front of me, and I was like, this is it, I'm going, that's it. And so, you know what, so I'm here, and I know we are only 1%. But I don't believe that we are only 1%. Because the Lord has been doing this work in Japan, and people across Japan are praising the Lord. Even, I don't know if you've seen the Blessing Japan, which is the Blessing, the song from Carrie Job. But in Japanese.
Oh, no, I didn't know about
yes.
that.
Yes, okay, so that one
I'll
is another miracle.
Yeah.
Anyways, so that one, when you see it and you see that all over the land, Christians are rising and are praising God in Japanese, in their culture, it's happening. We are in it. It is now, and the water is rising. So I am here, and I don't act like we are only one person in Japan. I just act like, okay, I'm that little dot. Let me grow bigger.
Mm.
We will grow bigger. So if all of us Christians really are praying, are seeking God, are praying and really bringing God's presence, that dot will just grow so fast. Because we don't need those huge mega churches. We just need the people to receive Jesus and to be connected to Him.
Yeah.
So it's happening. We are not necessarily aware of it, but it is happening. And I've seen actually around Japan, we went on our honeymoon in Okinawa and randomly got invited. Well, we went to a church, which is our friend's church. And then they said, okay, can you please share the word this morning? Well, we are on a honeymoon. Yeah, I guess we can't do that.
What?
Can you share a gospel song and share the word?
Aww.
I guess, yes, we will do that, you know. And so the Lord just uses everything and anything to just make it happen. So when we get that occasion, we just need to take advantage of it and share God's love and how Jesus died for us. And He's actually at the door and knocking and just say, would you let me in?
Mm.
And if you would... oh my goodness, how different your life will become. It's just amazing. I don't remember what I was talking about when I jumped on my honeymoon story, but I feel like there was something else.
The dot was spreading.
Yes, the dot was spreading, and Abby just brought that word with power. And for me, I received it not only for me being sent to Japan, but for Japan becoming like the covered with the blood of Jesus and with the love of Jesus. And we are seeing it. And so I was speaking about the blessing as well. The blessing.
Oh, yes.
The blessing Japan. Google it.
Search
it. And so it's a beautiful project that happened just at the beginning of the pandemic in 2020 when I don't know if you've heard that the Lord bless you and keep you. And so it went... yes. Like a wave all over the world, right? To encourage people in this very trying time of the pandemic. I think it came out in February or so. And before we knew it, the whole, like, it was in every language I know of. And I was like, Lord, we need this for Japan. We need this for Japan. Sure enough, towards maybe May, we received, in our church, we received... the call for volunteers to participate to the Blessing Japan. And I was like, yeah, of course, sure.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm here. And so I was, okay, I was not sure, would I be part, well, would I get access to it and whatever. And so that year, I was hospitalized for surgery. And so I got hospitalized the day I received all the files to actually be part of the project. And they were like, okay, within the week, please send your video. And I'm like, I'm going into the surgery room tomorrow. But yeah, I guess so. And so I was trying to record this thing and it was not working properly. So I got it the day I was hospitalized and the next morning I had surgery. And so I had surgery and I still had the epidural needle in my spine plugged to all these machines. I just put everything aside, that little microphone and my computer in front of me. And when I look at that, when I watch that video, even now, I can remember all the beeps and all these machines around me. And I'm singing, the Lord bless you and keep you for thousands and thousands of generations. Ah, Lord, can I do this outside of the hospital? And so that's how it doesn't matter where you are. You could be... you know, in your deathbed, if you thought that was your deathbed, if it serves the Lord, just do it. Mm. Just do it. And so we were so blessed that year because in January, we got married the year before. And in January, my husband got hospitalized for a week for a surgery as well. And so in his hospital bedroom, there were three patients. And I got there. I would visit him after work every time. And the patient that was across from him in the hospital room was there for a while. He had been hospitalized for multiple kind of surgeries and all these things. He had been there for 4 months or so.
Oh, wow.
And so my husband got his surgery, and I would visit him every day. And before we knew it, we became friends with this guy.
Mm.
You know what? He received Jesus, but he died. Oh. He died 2 years later, but okay. We had the chance to actually minister to him, to actually invite him at our place. He was released from the hospital at some point and got in a groom home. Guess what? His groom home was walking distance, like literally 1 minute away from your church now.
Wow.
Yes. That's crazy. And he visited once. Like, oh my good Lord. Mm. Amazing. You can't know. It doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah.
So that was about my husband's surgery. Somebody received Jesus, you know? And my surgery, I was part of this huge project that is still around. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You just need to think about, okay, Lord, you can do anything, so you can use even this.
Mm.
And so it's really, really allowing him to do so. And so your life, your whole life will have a different color, obviously, because I wouldn't have been able to live the kind of life I'm living now hadn't I walked through the first door. You know, it's always that first door, and then the next one opens up, and then the next one. So you have to make that step. That first door is the most important one. You just walk through it. That's it. Yeah, I can keep talking about these things till tomorrow. I don't know. It's just amazing when you start looking at all the things that the Lord does in every small way.
Yeah.
In every small way. Yeah, so one of those things, I told you, I love dancing, right? So when I was in Canada, I used to be with one of my friends. We used to have a Latin, African, we call it Afro-Latina, African and Latin kind of dance lesson. And basically the way we organized it, our lesson was over 10 weeks where we would start from slavery, how those African dances went to South America. So we will start with the rhythm of slavery. So I call it rhythm of slavery, but it's really the African rhythms with literally just drums. You can hear the voice of drums. Okay, so drum speak. If you hear it, it's like there is a rhythm, there is an expression from the drums that comes out. Anyways, we go from there all the way to the salsa and reggaeton and things, merengue and all these rhythms that we know now and how it went through history. So it's not really a history lesson, but it is.
Yeah,
it's kind
that's
of
so
a
cool.
music kind of journey through. Through history while teaching them the moves and having fun. Literally, both of us were just having fun. And she's from Colombia, and I'm from Benin, West Africa, Canada/Canada. And so we had this lesson, and one day one of our students just came like, I feel so much joy in your class. Can I bring my daughter? She's sick, but... I really want her to be part of this. And I'm like, sure. Is it okay for her? Do we need to do anything? The daughter was under chemotherapy. She was in a wheelchair. The mom still brought her. And we had that dance together. You know what? We prayed for her that day. And the mom brought her again and again.
Mm.
And the girl got better.
Mm.
You know? We are just... dancing salsa here. We are not even supposed to speak about Jesus, because it was an activity at the community center. So it's supposed to be like and non-denominational, not even faith related.
Yeah,
we can't
yeah.
say Jesus or love you or God or whatever. Well, we said it all. We'll just lay hand on people, bring my olive oil, and anoint you with the power of Jesus Christ. You are healed. That's the end of the story that I know. So just my little encouragement that you don't need to change who you are. You are who you are with everything you like. The Lord made you that way. So if you love music, you love painting, art, whatever it is that you like, I've seen some of my friends in the church who are slammers, and they will start like, you know, we are in a worship service and we are just singing hallelujah in the presence of God, and they just burst out in a slam like this. You know, what do you want to do? This is my spirit. This is my flow. Sure, do it. If that's who you are, just express God in the way you are. And so, yeah, so I think that would be the biggest thing that I would say to anybody. Like, I was driving here and I was thinking about if I had a song that would be like the theme song of who I am. And I thought there was that song. I can't remember who sang it, but it would say, the song in my life, the song in my soul, the song I was born to sing, is your song of freedom. Now I'm free to dance again. Have you ever heard it?
No, I love that.
I laugh in the darkness and dance in the rain. Rejoice in your love again. For your song of freedom, now I'm free to dance again. That's it. We all have that one song that we were born to sing. You have to find your song. Different from mine, but just sing it. As long as you can do it. That's it. It doesn't matter if your song looks like a rap music, salsa, I don't know. Whatever your song is in the Lord. You know how the Bible says that the angels and the ancients and all nations and tribes are in the presence of God and worshiping Him day and night, and that night and day saying glory, glory to the Lamb. And so when you imagine what would that look like if it's all tribes and all tongues and all cultures? Is it supposed to sound like rock music, pop music, R&B? No, I'm pretty sure there will be some strange noises that we've never heard of. That would still be that melody that has been lasting for eternity, saying glory, glory, glory to the Lamb. So I just want to add that voice, my voice, to that choir.
I think a lot of people put God, and just Christianity, I guess, in general, but like in this like cultural box that it didn't even come from. Like Christianity came from the Middle East.
Yes, you know?
People think it's like, I don't know, like American or like European, like, you know,
not
like Ethiopia had Jesus before like England did. But it's not like he's cross-cultural.
Yes.
He speaks to every people group, every tribe, every nation, every tongue. And it's amazing. And we can express that in the same way, like from different cultures, express their praise to God in different ways. So that's so cool to imagine that, like when they're praising Him, you know, like it's probably not just what you're imagining. It's probably
a lot of different things.
That's so cool.
And I don't know if you remember back in maybe 10, 15 years ago, maybe during worship, they will have an artist of some kind. Different churches would have that.
Like the painter?
The painter, or they would have maybe some kind of trapezist or whatever. You know, you would have some art expression during worship. And I loved that because not only we are used to, okay, we will sing in the presence of the Lord and rejoice with the tambourine or strings or whatever, but those who are not musical, what are they supposed to do? You know, if my thing is writing, what if my thing is math? What if my thing is building, I don't know, Legos? I don't know what it is. But can I still worship the Lord with whatever I have? Yes, you can. Totally, you have to. Mm. Yes, we want to see it. So I do believe that in the presence of God, like any expression is a good expression because the Spirit will just burst it out of us. So if you can write it, you can draw it, you can move it, you can just do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a kind of Christian life I was born for, but I didn't know it till I walked in that first door. Yeah.
This is so good. Yeah. I would keep talking with you for hours about this, but I want to ask you one more question. Yes. Is if someone is maybe on the fence about Jesus, they're like, I'm not so sure about him. Like, what would you say to them?
Where to start? I would say, until you know that you're loved, how can you love? Until you know what love is, how can you love? Okay, let's say that you are not sure about Jesus. But then from here, what are you thinking about for the rest of your life? Go with your own thoughts without knowing exactly what you were made for, without knowing the love that brought you out of what you are into what you're supposed to be. So until you meet that original designer, which is Jesus, who gave you back that identity, whatever you do, I'm so sorry to say it, it will give nothing. So please, please, please do go back to your room. And if you're honest and you're like, Lord, I'm on the fence, just tell him, Lord, I'm on the fence. I'm not sure. Can I trust you? Show it to me. What should I do? Show it to me. Talk to me now. Show me something that only you can do. Prove yourself to me, even if that's what you want to say. Just do it. It doesn't matter what it is. He will do it because he really wants you. He really loves you that much.
Mm.
Can you imagine somebody who loved you that much that he died? Okay, he could have let you. Okay, you know what? You don't want it? Just go away. I don't care about it. He could have said it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. He still died for you not believing in it.
Mm.
So what is it that you're going to lose trying to actually meet him? So please, please go back to your room. Have that little innocent, totally honest prayer, whatever it looks like, if it's a cry, if it's a shout of anger, if it's a, whatever it is that you have, just be open, transparent, and honest, and ask him to show himself to you. And I know he will, because he did it for me before, and he did it for many, many people. And the point, at that moment on, if you do believe, just walk through that door.
Mm.
Just do it, because your life will change. You will never, things you would have never been able to make or to create or even to imagine will just keep on coming to you because of him inside of you. And so you're on the fence. I'll just pray for you right now. Please go in your room and ask to meet him. He will come to you and he will meet you. That's his promise.
Mm.
Yeah, that's it.
That's good. Well, Ola, thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast and sharing so much amazing wisdom and joy and just how God has worked in your life. You are an inspiration, and thank you so much.
Thank you. It was such a pleasure. I really, really hope that if, guys, you have any kind of questions, something that was not clear, you would reach out to Rachel or leave in the comments or whatever.
Yes.
I don't know how those things happen.
Yeah, send me a message.
Totally,
yeah.
Please do something. And if you are on the fence, please don't stay on that fence for too long. Just try him out. Just speak to him and he'll answer you. I know he will.
Mm.
Please do. So thank you for having me. Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you again for listening to the Life is Hard, God is Good podcast. It was such a pleasure having Ola on the podcast today, sharing her story of how Jesus has transformed her life from the inside out. And like she said, if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. If you know me personally, you can send me a message. And even if you don't, please feel free to connect. We have social media through Instagram at Life is Hard, God is Good podcast. And we have a Facebook group. So those are great ways to reach out and get in touch if you have questions or comments or anything. I'd be happy to talk with you. And we have more upcoming episodes of this series, The New Creation, How Jesus Changes Lives. So stay tuned. And have a great week. May the Lord bless you and keep you.